kicking things off with a yawn.
So, I'm tired, but welcome to the Debrief Podcast with me,
Stevie, and me, Tessa. We're doing our best.
Life's hard, isn't it?
It's hard. I've had a cry in John Lewis today.
I got sent home yesterday because I was crying in work. Not sent home. That makes me sound like it was literally like everyone's working out. I just go, eh! It was like, get out. No. She found me in the bathroom.
Oh,
and
God.
I lied and said I had migraines. It wasn't migraines, guys. I'm not going to talk about it.
Oh, God.
Today's podcast, or should I say this week's podcast, it's self-promotion. For example, I shouldn't have opened the podcast with an anecdote about me crying at work and a yawn. That's not really promoting myself.
No, we've sold it badly so far, but we're going to get into it.
Oh boy, are we going to get into it?
We're going to get into it. We just thought we'd be open and honest with you. And it is January and it's still feeling...
Winter
just feels a bit much.
I don't understand why it's so hard, everybody. But I mean, if you're feeling bouncy, then please tweet us. Let's cheer ourselves up with adult things that we've done. What is the most adult thing you've done this week, Tessa? Please give me some good shit.
Yes. Here it comes. So those of you following the Assertiveness podcast from the past, assertiveness was so different from what I was imagining it was going to be. And a real discovery for me about how unassertive I actually am in my life. So tonight, after we record this podcast, I am going to dinner with a friend and I booked the restaurant.
No.
Yes.
That's so great.
I Googled restaurants for maybe an hour and a half.
Yes.
And then I made a choice. Then they said, flippantly was like, I actually have a real hankering for something. And I was like, cool, not what I'd booked.
No.
And I was like, no problems. Cancelled that. They said, what about something French? Then I was like, Then I Googled like best French restaurants. Found somewhere, booked that. Told them. They were like, oh, that's quite pricey. I was like, right, okay, no problem. And then I picked another place that I almost said as a joke because I thought in my mind that person hated that place. And then they were like, no, great choice, let's go there. And
oh,
I was like,
brilliant.
Oh, for God's sake. I had a place I thought
You've
was good.
You've overthought it.
I've overthought this so badly. I should have just been like, oh, that's cheap and casual and fun and great. Let's go there.
But your analysis is great because now you're learning. So next time you'll say your first choice probably quite casually. And then if they then go, oh, no, then you start Googling around. Being like, oh, God.
Because I went in hard with all the research and all the thing. They, God, literally was going to like... the best French restaurant in the country.
Right,
and then,
and
then they say,
well done
oh,
for getting
no.
a reservation.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I got us in. And then, you know, and actually they say, oh no, this place that was your first idea all along.
Yeah.
And so that was my first journey into being assertive with the restaurant.
That's really good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It made me quite hot.
Yes. You look hot.
I am.
In both senses of the word.
Thank you, baby.
In one sense,
one
of, the
sense
word.
Of the word.
Temperature. I've looked at people who have lunch boxes and leftover food from dinner the night before.
No.
I have done it now solidly since November. I've done it like three or four times when I may have got November wrong as well. It was whenever we mentioned it on the podcast. So I'm sure you've
last
all,
week?
I'm sure. No, it wasn't. It was definitely a long time before Christmas or weeks before Christmas. And it really struck a chord with me. And then also I had to write a feature where I kept a diary of my outgoings. And it was all on food. All of
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I became quite just like horrified at myself for having got to this age and still not been able to understand how it's even possible to have a packed lunch or bring food with you. And I've now kind of nailed it. Like,
oh my God.
I put it in the Tupperware before I eat it, and the shame of going back in and eating it stops me. It's like, don't eat your lunch.
Oh, my God.
And I have saved... I mean, I'm still broke, but I have certainly saved enough money that it's noticeable.
What was in your lunchbox today?
Today I brought... I've literally got the evidence.
Yes, please.
I had, like, a very,
I thought it was very accusatory for me, literally, to be like,
I know,
show
so
me.
Where is it? Well, actually, today's a really bad example because I made a smoothie with oats and like honey and like really substantial. ate it at about, or drank it at about 12. Mm-hmm. On the way to do the podcast, genuinely felt like I was going to faint and had to buy Leon.
Right. Okay. Good.
But,
good stuff.
But my where's your my lunch? Feelings was that was my lunch.
A smoothie.
I got up at midday, Tessa.
Okay.
So like, yeah, it was. But now I've learned that's not okay. No. But normally when I'm in the office, what I do is I'll have like pasta or something the night before.
Oh my God.
And I'll bring it in with me. And I haven't bought food at work for ages. And I feel really proud of myself. I'm allowed to buy food if I feel faint. That's the only thing. If I feel faint and angry, then I'm allowed to buy food.
That's really fantastic.
Yeah, I genuinely have never felt more smug about anything in my whole life, apart from when I quit smoking, but that was it.
Yes, that is really, really impressive.
Thank you.
Well done you.
You guys can do it too.
Yes, I've still never done it.
No.
But I believe I can.
Okay, good. On the topic of self-promotion, I just want to sort of bob in.
Absolutely.
Have a quick Robert.
Certainly.
And to say that I'm doing a comedy show in London on February 4th at 8:45 p.m. at Vault Festival, which is a lovely festival which I'd encourage you to go to anyway. Lots of different acts, lots of different things. And it's just me trying out what may become my Edinburgh show. It's very like relaxed, but I really would like an audience there who are nice. And I imagine that everyone listening is nice. So if you fancied it and were free, I would love you to come. And I will also be there, probably quite drunk afterwards. So do come and say hi.
You are being so brave.
Thank you.
No, not for doing it.
Okay.
But I mean, that's neither here nor there, but sure. For self-promoting.
Yes.
Because I can see how hot you are.
Yes, I'm it's such nuclear.
Yes, but I think it's such, you, I'm so, well done you. Like,
thank
genuinely.
You. And also, yes, thank you.
You're welcome, because it's such a huge thing to have to say.
Yes, it's massive.
Come along.
Yes, do. Come on.
She's doing her best.
It's vaultfestival.com and then just search for my name or just go on any of my Twitter feeds and you'll be able to see it.
Yes, okay, if you find yourself in London.
Okay, back into self-promotion. This is one that a listener got in touch with us, Alexandra Haddo, who is also a stand-up comedian. And she has started like doing gigs and things like that. And she's just like, I don't know how to do self-promotion. Obviously, that's a very specific starting point. But then that made me think, I don't know how to do it either. Like, mm-hmm. Your own social brand. Like, how do you push a brand?
I think it's such a... thin icy sword, isn't it? It's such a difficult one to do, and not to bring gender into it, but I do think it's more of a female crisis area.
Yes,
than I'm sure it's absolutely universal, but there is something in that, you know, small girls not being encouraged to speak up and be boastful and promote themselves.
It's vulgar
and you sit quietly, and you know that isn't instinctive in how we raise children.
No.
So
also a British thing as well, because I don't know if anyone has ever spoken to an American person. You literally go like, what are you up to? And they're like, I just got promoted. That's really cool. I'm actually in charge of like a whole team now. And my side hustle is like gaining so much traction. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We've got 3 awards for our work in like, and you're like, okay.
And they're not even pretending.
No.
That's just how you talk about things.
Yes. Whereas you asked how they were.
And if you have to do business with an American ever and you make a sort of flippant joke about being like, oh no, that'll be shit, or this is rubbish, or, you know,
then they say like,
oh God, like, why would you say that?
Yeah. Like, or like, oh, it's going to be shit.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm sort of doing myself down. And
yeah.
Then it's
a bit like if we said to each other like, oh, John's a racist, and you'd be like, oh gosh, is he? And then you'd be like, no, joking. That's how we all communicate. Like, what a weird joke. Why would you say that? And why would you joke about racism?
Yeah.
Whereas that to them is as vulgar to, like, you know, put yourself down in that sort of self-deprecating, like, make yourself shit way.
Yeah, it makes you look psychologically unstable.
Yes,
whereas
it really
in England,
does.
It's like, oh, you're psychologically unstable if you don't do that. Like,
yeah.
People think that you're mad. Sometimes I think it's, you need to strike a balance. So I've got friends,
yes.
Or I not really friends, but like I know of people who, for example, will like send emails being like, just an update of all the things I'm doing. And it's just like a list of things that they've done that they're really like amazed by. And I find that really difficult to get on board with.
Yeah, awful.
Because it's like, I didn't ask for this and I don't care for it. And I think on social media, which is probably what we'll be talking about for the majority of it, because that is how you self-promote. People's different approaches to self-promotion on on social media is fascinating because you really can go too far, but mm-hmm. then you can also argue, well, why is that too far?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a difficult... That's why my thin, spicy sword, it's such a difficult... It's such a difficult place to find exactly where the right ground is, because somebody might receive that email with a list of like great things that happen this month and might be like, good on you, great for you.
Yeah, and we're like, I'll work with you in the future. I'm never going to work with you in the future.
Yeah, so some people have been like, oh great, this person's really got shit done. Like, to return to the American thing, particularly in like, it's so much in us, like in our comedy and how we relate to each other, like so much in the sort of 70s and 80s, loads of popular sitcoms like Porridge and Only Fools and Horses and like Steptoe and Son never got sold across the pond in the way that like everything else was being like sold to America, like all the British shows and British vices being sold to America, because Americans were like, what is this? Like, why would we make a show about two men in prison?
Yeah,
like,
why would we make it's not aspirational.
No, it's not aspirational. Like, why would we make a show about like two people who are poor? Like, why would we make this show?
I remember when my parents used to live in America and they said that the EastEnders thing.
Yeah.
No one over there on just like, but it's so grey.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would we, exactly. Like, they cannot comprehend how you wouldn't want to make a show about like, you know, people succeeding in a glossy, successful
fair
way.
Fair enough, in a way.
In many ways, fair enough.
And
they haven't
sort of
got it right,
great.
And I don't think we've got it right
no,
either.
No, I don't think anyone's
somewhere
got it right.
Somewhere in the middle between our two countries, in the middle of the Atlantic, is the golden island.
The golden egg.
The golden egg. It's out there in the middle of the
Atlantic. The egg of self-promotion.
The egg of self-promotion is in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. That's what we're saying. Let's go find
it. That's the takeaway.
Get in the boat. We're going to go find it.
Listen to nothing else. Get into the boat and get the egg of self-promotion.
Get it.
So I thought it'd be a good idea to speak to someone that I know who is very good at it.
Great.
So her name is Dolly Alderton. She has a book out called Everything I Know About Love.
When's the book out?
It's out in February, so it'll be out next week.
Oh, I wonder if it's out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's out before then.
Oh, right, great. I have a massive girl crush on Dolly.
She's amazing.
I think she's in...
She's just very likeable and very, very good at what she does, and especially good on across social media. I forced her at gunpoint to send me a load of kind of things. And also just some like comment from your pal Stevie and Tessa.
Mm-hmm.
Just some like commentary. So yeah, shall I just like start?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Crack on.
I'll just assertively start. One of Dolly's top tips on how to promote is to use interesting imagery rather than just your face and words all the time on social media. So for example, she's got a lovely podcast with Pandora Sykes called The Hilo, and she will post like vintage photos of female DJs or basically things that are kind of relevant to the subject matter without being constantly a picture of Dolly and her co-host, which they've got some lovely pictures, but you have to keep it. So I noticed this, and actually like about a few months ago on Twitter when I've been promoting our little podcast, I started doing like pictures of funny dogs.
Mm-hmm. Because
I
was like, lovely stuff.
We can't look at me and Tessa holding up a picture of a board with the title of it anymore, and we need to do a new photo shoot, but the thought of it scares me. So it's dogs for now. And I don't know whether it helps or not, but it just makes you feel like you're not just churning out the same stuff and people's eyes just don't slide over it because they engage with the image. Also on Twitter, if you put an image, like an image on a tweet will just get sent further across your audience than one without. That's just like how the Twitter algorithm works. Also, this is a good one, and I want to talk about this a little bit more. She says, don't preface every single post with saying how incredibly happy or fortunate you are and how hard you've worked. It cushions it with an unnecessarily smug pomp and ceremony. If you phrase the post with like grace and humility, people will know you've worked hard and are grateful. You don't need to spell it out in every single self-promoting post. And like sentimentality or a moment to reflect when announcing really big career things are fine, but no one needs 350 words on what a journey you've been on in life just to flog an article about face masks. And I really agree. If I get like a new job or I get like a new commission on something or I just never put it up because I'm like, well, why would I?
Well, why? Yes, it's tricky, isn't it? Because I definitely follow a lot of people who do that, or when they're having a bad time, when they're having a good time. And there's an 850 word article in their Facebook thing that I often read the top and then skim to the bottom.
Yes.
And often they're quite good writers, and so I'm content to read it. But I am like, what is this for? Like,
who are you writing this for?
Who's this for? Is that for you? In which case, don't send it. Like, write it yourself.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Write that. Express those feelings that you needed to get out. You don't need everyone to see it for it to be like validated. And I think there's something like very bleak in that, like, validation search. So I think often the things they have to say are interesting or personal or whatever, but it's like, we didn't all need to see
yes,
it.
It's the fine, spicy knife line.
It's the fine, spicy knife line. Whereas sometimes you want to hear about how something has gone or somebody's journey yeah. into something. And so it is this like impossible thing that everything is
it's
all relative and it's all personal and it's all specific. And I think that probably the indicator for you is like, have I ever done one in the past? No. In which case, go ahead and celebrate your new job.
Of course.
Go
yeah.
ahead and tell people.
I guess also why you're doing that. So like if it's using milestones that Dolly would use or a couple of my other friends who are very good and consistent at self-promotion, mm-hmm. unlike me who like sweats about an hour before doing a Facebook event. Things like got a new job that you've been really excited about yeah. for ages. Or you've got like a new project that you've worked on and you care about, and now pushing that out and promoting that will really help the project, whatever yeah. that is. So they're doing that because they need to promote that thing. And if you're doing something because you do need to promote it, it will make that better. That's fine. If you're doing it for like validation, desperate reassurance, or just like an empty like, well, I put everything up, then I just don't know if it's necessary. I have friends that put literally every single thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like, I'm not saying like, oh, I ate some bread. I mean, like,
it's a really, I think it is a relative thing, because somebody's huge, a huge milestone for one person mm. might be an absolutely everyday occurrence for somebody else.
That's really true. Yeah.
And so therefore, somebody who every day does quite exciting stuff and gets to do things, if we saw that, like there is a hashtag actor's life or like hashtag set life as an Instagram thing, is unbearable, because an actor putting that up, like that picture better be really funny or really fantastic or something, because otherwise it just feels like an excuse to tell people that you're on a set.
You're working, yeah.
Like, you know, if...
And if anyone listening doesn't kind of have an experience in the kind of acting world, you know, actors have a hard time because you're often in between jobs, and when you get a yeah. job, you kind of feel like, oh God, thank God. But like, a lot of actors will use this like hashtag actor's life, hashtag set life for literally everything yeah. they're doing. And that's sometimes very mundane or just like a big selfie of themselves.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
And you're like, gosh. Gosh. Or, and equally like people with partners or whatever. Like it is this horribly thin edge knife between appreciation and bragging that's like, you
that's
know, like
what it is. Yeah.
Hashtag blessed, like here we, oh my God, he took me to Paris again, like, or whatever. You're like, oh,
and then
good.
Like, he comments underneath being like, yeah, I love taking you to Paris, babe.
And yeah. Like, and you're like,
you're next to each other in Paris.
Yeah, like, you're together. Like, show that appreciation to each other physically. If
yes.
you, by all means, like, you know, show that if you want the world to see that thing, but if you have to show them every day, I think maybe question, be like, why do I need to show them?
Because that's
the
self-promotion.
Nice...
That's a type of self-promotion. You're promoting your life.
Mm.
Like you're promoting your own, yourself as being like really happy. And that's really nice. It's personal to the person. So personally, I find it very difficult to self-promote because I'm not comfortable with it. Whereas people that find it very easy to self-promote or enjoy doing that sort of thing, I'm not hating. I'm just being like,
yes. And I think there's just so much in this conversation, because at one end there's this having to break down all these barriers that we have about like bragging and about jealousy and about like what it is to be a receiver of those things, how you perceive somebody who's put something up, and how rarely you genuinely feel nothing but pride and positivity for your friend announcing something positive.
Yeah.
You know?
You will get a twinge of like, oh.
Yeah, there's so oh. rare. And so therefore that's on you to be like, hey, what do I need to work on in myself that I can feel totally positive?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I absolutely love when, and I increasingly, the more I like feel stable and grounded and like good in what I'm doing and not so much that things are going well, but I'm sort of like, feel I'm...
On the path.
On a path that, yeah, that feels right.
Yeah,
it's like,
course.
Oh, cool, you got, cool, everyone's doing good stuff. Cool, cool, cool. And so I think... so much is like working out like why do you feel jealous? Why do you feel that person is
yes,
obnoxious?
Why
do you feel
the
that
self-promotion
person is bragging?
Annoying you?
Yeah, why is it self-promotion? Exactly.
Because
why?
Actually, we on the other side, we have to realise that, like you were saying right at the beginning, women are really bad, like myself, at self-promotion, about being proud of something that I've done, about being like, no, that was a good thing and I would like to share that with people. And we need to be okay with doing that, because it's a lovely thing to be proud of something and want to actually own something
yes.
a little bit, rather than always be like, well, yeah, but it was crap. Like you
yeah,
have
yeah,
to
yeah.
be. And so, you know, I've got friends who, yeah, probably do over self-promote, But when I talk to them about it, they're like, yeah, because I'm not going to sit under this. Like, yeah. I'm going to live my life and promote, and that's what I'm doing. I'm mm-hmm. proud of my work, mm-hmm, of what I do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's very, very a strong stance to take. That was incredibly difficult, but I feel like we got there.
Certainly.
I felt like at every point I was maybe offending 50,000 people, but hopefully there's no part of me that's like, oh, self-promotion, you're an idiot.
No.
It's just like, I think it is very, very subjective, like what people respond to and what makes people go, oh, shut up.
Yeah, but I sincerely hope if you're listening and you are somebody who puts up a lot of pictures of your lovely boyfriend or your lovely job or your lovely whatever, that you don't feel in any way you shouldn't. Like,
of course,
please. Balls do you. Like, yeah. You do you. But I think it's just like part of a bigger conversation about like how people feel about the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. What social media is making us feel.
Which is insane. It makes us feel insane.
It makes us feel fully insane. I do think we're all turning, kind of almost leading on from that, is that self-promotion is only kind of irritating when it's the only thing someone does. So I think mixing it up with different types of content.
Ooh.
In the simplest form possible. Example, I've been doing some comedy gigs and I realised that my Facebook was literally just like, come to this gig. I was like, no, I just have to start thinking about like just putting up a stupid link or a funny picture, mm-hmm, or something that means that people aren't just seeing me asking for things all the time.
Yes.
and showing off.
Yes.
So I think on Twitter, on Facebook, using like humour, making, like, and that, this is something that Dolly sort of says as well, like, use humour, make the copy interesting and colourful, and mix it up with lots of other stuff, because you need to, it can't just be endless plugs, no one will listen to it or be interested in it. If you're not providing anything, why would someone else want to give you something, i.e. come and see your thing, like a thing that you've done, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
absolutely. I think if you are starting a business or a thing, or you need people to, you need the hits or the views or the likes or the sales, whatever it is that you need, or people to come to things, or you want to push or promote or whatever, I think you probably have to think of yourself as pretend that you are doing the brand work for, you know, Asda or something. Yeah. And if you sat there in the meeting with Asda and they were like, okay, we just say like, quarterly sales are up. This is, so one tweet is quarterly sales are up. The next tweet is going to say like, we had 100,000 customers yesterday. You'd be like, guys. No. I mean, well done. That's fantastic.
Lovely.
But no
put
one,
a meme in there.
Throw a meme in, Asda.
Put a meme
no
in.
One gives a shit. Like, nobody, if you completely separate yourself from the thing, and then you don't, I mean, maybe you work for Asda, but like, you don't really care. Like, it makes no difference to you, in which case you're like, nobody cares about that thing. You can see it so clearly. Whereas when you're in it, you're like, I want people to know about the quarterly sales. Like, we work so hard. It's like amazing for you.
So you have to make them care about you as a person.
Yes, exactly.
And be like, oh, Tessa does some excellent tweeting. So then, like, I'll go and have a look and see the tweets that Tessa's done. Or like, oh, so that was really funny. And then the next time when Tessa tweets about my gig, they'll be like, oh, that's really funny. Yeah, I'll have a look at that.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, gig, show, come and do this. What about, it just doesn't work. Similarly, as Dolly says about the, I'm so blessed, oh, this is so great, like a real, I think there is so much room for that in social media, and there's so much room for that in self-promotion. It's not the only thing that you should be doing. You need to maybe like, have different approaches.
Yes, I think
you can't be blessed about everything.
You can't. Yeah, and also on any form of social media, the stuff that does really well is the like awful, relatable, funny stuff. Like, that is what people want.
Yes.
Like, that's what we're all here for.
That's what we're all in it for.
That's what we're all in it for, big time. I think the thing is that your, whatever your platform is, your Twitter or your Instagram or your Facebook, if it's something that you're trying to sell, then that becomes your shop window. And the shop window just has to be full of things that people want to look at.
The other side of it, which I've been told by my family actually to not do, is so I have a tendency to, like, if I'm embarrassed about something, to be like, oh, you know, come to this. It's just, oh, it's probably a piece of shit, isn't it? We're all living our lives. Don't come if you don't want to. Bye. You can't really do that, because why would anyone be interested in a project, endorse a project or whatever you're trying to get people to do, just to take you seriously, if you can't even take yourself seriously? You have to be able to take what you're doing seriously.
Yes, absolutely.
It's funny and self-deprecating, and then there's like, just, it will just harm your project.
Yes, you just have to be, unfortunately, 100% committed to the thing that you're doing.
Mm.
Even though, however painful and awful and horrible that is and feels, and how much easier, of course it's easier to sit with one foot out the door being like, oh, that's probably shit.
Yeah.
Whatever, who cares about
the pressure's
off,
then.
Who cares, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was shit. I knew it would be. I didn't even try.
Yeah.
It's impossible. I didn't do the homework anyway. Like, you've got to do the homework.
You've got to put yourself out there.
And it's so, so scary and
it really is
awful to say, hello, this is my thing.
When I've worked on social media projects for companies,
yeah,
one of the major things that we always do is like get specific people to publicise the thing that you're trying to push.
Yeah.
So me and Tessa are in a sketch group, Massive Dad. When we've released sketches online or when we've like had something that we want to promote, I've got like three really lovely friends who I'll message and be like, you've got so many followers, would you mind just doing like one tweet about this? And I'll, you know, I'll buy you a bottle of wine. And they never accept the wine. But it is nice because then we go for a drink or something and it's just nice to reconnect, you know what I mean? But also when they do it, it's really helpful. So there may be people that you know in the industry that you're promoting, whether that's like, I don't know, like, yeah, like a new project that you're doing or a new short film that you've made or whatever, that you can seek out people, message them, be like, do you mind doing a tweet? And people are kind of really up for doing that. And that kind of does help. Not so much if you're just promoting your own boyfriend, because no one wants to tweet about that. But if it is like a specific thing that you're doing, then that works. Just like tweet Zoella. Be like,
see how it goes.
Please, can you tweet this? But yeah.
So I'm going to move things to a slightly more personal.
I'm really into that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because we've been talking a lot about online and pushing people to your business and links and getting people to come and possibly you're listening and being like, oh, I haven't got a business. I can't even get through the day. So possibly, you know, this sort of business chat is not relevant to you. But I think wherever you are and whatever you're doing, there is an element of self-promotion that is inherent in getting by.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you want to do in whatever field, that you have to be able to sell yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a huge, huge hurdle to get over, especially because you've been through possibly 18 years of the education system, possibly went on to further education, possibly went to university, and then suddenly you're out in the big wide world, and instead of just being like, here are my grades, or I showed up to the test like you asked me to, I did this, my teacher can tell the people who are good at a particular thing, your teacher knows you, your friends know you, suddenly you're in this world in which no one's ever met you and there's no reason for them to trust or believe or know that you can do something and you have to tell them you can do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so possibly the first time you went through this was writing a UCAS form, which was like gut-wrenching because
your
personal statement. Oh. Suddenly you were writing all this stuff about who you were and what you wanted and why you were any good and why the university should accept you. And possibly that is genuinely the first time anyone had to ever tell another person why they were any good. And now suddenly you're having to prove that to other people. And it's a really, really hard thing to have to do because we are inherently not taught to brag or to boast or to say, hello, here I am. And so inherently we go crouch down and we say like, no, oh no, don't pick
me.
I'm
not here.
No, oh gosh, no, I probably won't be any good. And it walks absolutely hand in hand with this like imposter syndrome where you think like, oh no, I'm probably, you know, it is so hard to really stand on your two feet and be like, yes, I'm the best person for this job.
Yeah.
And to truly believe that and then to say, look someone in the eye and say it.
It's just blagging, isn't it? Because I think I ever thought I was the best person for any job.
I'm always like, let's be honest, there's much better people.
Yeah.
The first thing is to try and find your, I've written UPS, but I mean USP. Find where your UPS tracking system has gone. Find your USP and be like, what is it that I actually have to bring? And even if you're like, I'm not good at nothing, which is definitely 100% a place I have been where I was like, I can't do a single thing. Then you just have to be like, yes, but where was I born? Where have I lived? What school did I go to? What experiences do I have that nobody else has? Like, what am I interested in? What are the things I do? Even if it's like, what books do I like? What shows do I like? Yeah. What is it that I have?
What lesson did I find marginally easier than the others?
Exactly. Like, what are these little tiny things that I have that nobody else has?
Because you ask friends as well.
Yeah.
Ask friends and family. That's helpful. Genuinely, I've got friends who were in similar situations who asked their parents, what do you feel like I'm good at? Because I don't know. Yeah. And then people just, if someone comes to you with that, they definitely want to help. Like, of course you want to help with that.
Yeah, of course. Of course, of course, of course. Like, go and ask, or, you know, go and to ask people. And again, it's that instinct to be like, oh, no, I don't need any help. No, get away. Yeah. I'm doing this by myself. It's like, you just have to suck that up and be like, hello, older, wiser people. I'd like some help now. Tell me who I am.
Mm.
Please, Grandmother Willow. We all wish we had a Grandmother Willow.
So much.
But guess what? You do.
It's in yourself.
And also it's your parents and older people.
And trees.
And just ask the trees, guys. So tip number one, get out there, find a tree.
Wait until Grandmother Willow pops out of the tree.
And go and find her. She'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I found it, saw a nice thing on Instagram. It said, it's actually from Simone Biles, who I love. Go and follow her. She's the Olympic American gymnast.
Oh,
she
yes.
is incredible. Go and watch her floor routine from the, what was the last Olympics we just had?
Rio.
Thank you. Yes, she's amazing. But she, I believe, was like born into foster care, was in like the foster system for a long time, was like eventually adopted. And when she was quite young, she was like six, was like pushed into gymnastics as sort of like, I don't know, do that. And is unbelievably talented, and also like a huge like women and feminism and like supports other people and yeah. gives so much back and is a part of a volunteering program and teaches kids in schools. She's incredible. And she, it's not her quote, but she wrote on something, you miss 100% of the shots you fail to take.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and
a
it's
great quote.
Such a great, it wasn't by Simone, it's probably by Mark Twain.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's quite an old quote.
It certainly is, but old, but I just say, like, I do, it's not, she said it and I love her.
Yeah.
And Mark Twain doesn't listen. So there's a comedy festival that I really want to go to this year. Mm. And I emailed the guy who runs it and he didn't reply. And then I was like, my instinct is to be like, okay, well, yeah. So then my instinct is to be like, well, death for me then.
Yes.
Like, I'll never speak of it again.
Yeah.
And then I've had to really force myself to email him again and to
sorry,
ask.
Sorry, I didn't hear back
yeah,
from you.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear back from you. And just be like really professional without being like, ah, so embarrassing. I know to email again, but here I am.
Yeah.
Like just to send another professional email or to ask people who are closer to him or have and be like, hello, would you mind asking on my behalf for this thing?
Yeah.
And to be like, here's the thing I want and these are the steps I have to go through to get to it.
Yes.
And decide like, do I want it? Which is worse, the not going or the pain of really pushing yourself to go.
Yeah, and similar with self-promotion and things like that, the pain of actually like self-promoting yourself is gross, but do you want the thing to happen or
yeah,
do you not
do you
want
the job? Like, do you want these things?
Yeah.
Do you, or...
And look at people who are doing it in a way that you really like and just copy their model because it's
yes,
not like
absolutely.
Anyone's going to notice because we're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's like something that I've definitely helped me. Being like, oh, she. I like what they do.
Yeah, that person was cool and dealt with that really well. Or if you ever get an email or you're like, oh, that was really well worded and like got...
Yeah, well worded.
Yeah, well done her.
Well worded bit of self-promo.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think the more you sort of like give out genuinely, the more people are likely to respond well to you promoting yourself. So like if you're really supportive of everyone around you, people will
yes.
be supportive of you.
Yes, absolutely.
If you never have done anything, liked anything, gone along to a friend's thing, then why would they
yes, absolutely.
Help you? And right at the start of things, you know, whether it's a personal thing or a business thing or anything, you need your friends or you need the people who are around you to help you out. If you are self-promoting, it's not just about yourself. You have
yeah,
to also
absolutely.
Help.
As Buddha says, when you light a lamp for others, you too are in the light.
You are on fire.
You too are on fire. Now two people are on fire. Thank you, Buddha. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's a really lovely point to be like, go to your friends' things, retweet them, or even if you don't know those people, if you know somebody makes art or makes something or you don't even know that person, but you're like, this is cool. Be like, here's a thing that I like that's cool. Let me tell people about
it.
Yeah,
a lot of people are like trying to get into specific industries. I think it's really helpful to genuinely like engage in that industry before you start being like, I can do this and I can do that. And like on Twitter, like looking at the stuff that people are doing on Twitter and retweeting it on your Instagram, posting things that are relevant to the thing that you're trying to get into is a nicer way of being like, I'm good at that, because you don't necessarily need to say that you're good at that. Basically, I'm going off the whole thing of like when you arrive in like the real world and you're like, but I wanted to be a insert anything. No one knows I'm any good at it.
Yeah.
People might not be able to know immediately if you're very good at it, but they will certainly be able to tell from looking at your social media stuff if you're interested in it and if you're enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And then they'll presume that you're probably good at it because look, you're so engaged in it. Like,
yes.
That, and that's nicer than just constantly
be engaged as your first step on your way to becoming a chemical engineer. You know?
Absolutely. You don't even need any training.
No, you don't. Just pop on. We'll log into it in a week.
Chemical engineering.
Retweet chemicalengineering.com and we're away. But like,
doctors.
Yeah, go, if that is your thing, like, see literally what the steps are to becoming a chemical engineer. Like, who do you have to know? What internships do you have to do? What programs do you need to be on? Like, let's read the books. Let's
but
be part of something.
Yeah, you're not going to get let into a really great university that does a chemical engineering degree if you've shown absolutely no interest in any of the elements.
No, exactly.
So, yeah.
Equally, recognize that in yourself. If you haven't read these books on chemical engineering, or
you have no interest in how things work.
You don't care about how things work, and you just love poetry.
Like,
then acknowledge
don't do
that.
It.
Acknowledge that. To be like, if you're like, oh, I gotta read this book. If you are genuine and you genuinely want that to be in that world, chances are you are reading and enjoying and experiencing it already.
Yeah. And you don't have to like tell people that you are. You just have to be like, my name is Chris, and I love this. And that rhymes. You just have to show that that's what you're engaged in, which is so much nicer than having to basically write a personal statement on Facebook thing. Like, just if anyone's interested, I really like chemical engineering. It's like, no, we already know because you're posting.
Yeah, we already know because you don't ever have to, isn't that thing that they always crossed out when you said like, I have a great passion for whatever your subject
anything.
Was. And they always like, don't tell us that you're passionate. Show us that you're passionate.
Show us all of the things.
Show us the things that you...
That mystified me when I was younger. And then I realised it was because I didn't want to do an English literature degree.
Yeah, that is...
I wanted to do creative writing, but then I was like, that won't lead to a career. So English literature, apparently, I thought did. Trying to convince people that I liked it was just a pain in the ass because I didn't.
And equally, like, my CV... when I first started working, it was just like a barrel of lies. I remember hiding it from my dad and he found it. I was furious. And he was like, what is this? Why have you said all these things that you can do? And I was like, shut up, you don't know nothing. And he was like, I've been in the working world for 30 years, you idiot. And he was like, why are you making up all this stuff that you haven't done? And I was like, because that's what people want you to say. And he was like, why don't you tell them all the things that you genuinely
do
you are interested in and that you have done at school? Like, why don't you tell them about that thing, that stupid thing that you did at university? And I was like, because no employer is going to care about that. And he's like, they will in the world that is in.
Yes.
Like, stop pretending that you're a zebra when you are a flamingo.
I've got a great example, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, flamingo. Other thing as well that I thought is that sometimes if you find that you're kind of promoting yourself on Facebook all the time and you're like, oh God, my whole Facebook, like, look at getting across all of it. So like, for example, you know, you may be like, Instagram is so lame, but Instagram stories are gone within 24 hours. And that's sometimes when I'm like, I can't post another Instagram about the podcast, for example, because, you know, I haven't posted for ages and literally it's just going to be loads of pictures of Tessa. Then what I'll do is I'll do it on Instagram stories. I'll do like a run of little like silly things on there. Or I'll be like, okay, actually, no, this week I'm just going to do like a tweet. And I'll do like, and to try and like mix it up like that. And if you're like, oh, but I don't want to be on Instagram, it's like, just get on it. Get on all of them. So then you've just got more scope to do the same thing, basically. Like, you won't be repeating yourself all the time by definition, because Facebook's just like an onslaught of Facebook status isn't going to inspire anyone. Like, and also you can show that you're interested in things in different ways. Like, you can show, a chemical engineer, for example, can show that they're interested in chemical engineering on Instagram by the photos of things that they're doing at their apprenticeships and the things.
Yeah, show us how things work. Like, show us the stuff. Like, I'm here. I'm ready to learn.
I don't know why we've really lent into the chemical engineering.
Because chemical engineering to me is A, what my dad does, and B, is as far away from a job as I can comprehend.
Sure, yeah.
I'm trying, because I think our world and our sphere is so much in the, like, creative arts.
Of course.
So therefore, I try and be like, what's
the
over there?
The least of a thing. Yeah, no, it's true.
Conversely to that, I'm hopeless on most platforms.
Sure.
And must get better.
Yes.
I vow to do one today.
Oh my God, do. Please do. You'll feel gross. I think... you feel gross whenever you start a new sort of like social media thing. It's just because the whole point is like, what's this for? Like, I'm constantly being like, why am I doing this? It's like, it's so egotistical and it's so like, and I struggle with it a little bit. Actually, it's not. That's the way that the world is going. If you want to promote yourself, you need to be on the self-promotional platform.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can't write letters to everybody being like, by the way, I'm doing, like, you just can't. That's the first thing people will do when they hear your name for a job interview or anything. They'll be like, oh, okay, let's check out her Twitter. Let's check out, just to see what she's like.
What's their vibes?
And so you want to be having, like, good vibes.
Get your good vibes up, mate.
Just get good vibes.
I have two tiny things. Oh, no, thrice, but they're so quick. One, try and separate yourself from you, lowercase, to you, all capitals. Like, ooh, here's you who just goes home and has a bath and is living their life and doesn't really like to brag and is a nice, humble, nice, calm person. And here is you, the product and the brand, who is the thing. It's the equivalent of Beyonce and...
No, Sasha Fierce.
And Beyonce, yeah, so I'm saying Beyonce is the like... just.
Oh, no, sorry, I said no because I questioned whether it was Sasha Fierce.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Beyonce is just... Beyonce is her at home.
Plain old Beyonce.
Plain old Beyonce, nothing going on
I
here.
Bet.
At home making bagels. And then Sasha Fierce is what she's selling and her brand. And when she's on stage, that's who's in control and
oh
who's
God,
confident
yeah.
and who's there. And Sasha Fierce can't live 24-7. She'd collapse.
No.
And Beyonce can't go on the stage because she just wants to be... She's scared and has stage fright. But this woman... like. And so that's what you have to imagine yourself like. This is, and therefore, it's a way of separating that. Like, but I don't want to be a braggy person. I don't want to be ball busting. I don't want to be confident. I don't want to be confident.
I think, you should want to be confident.
But you should. And the number two is that Colonel Sanders, the man
you
from KFC.
You bring him up
I
so
love
much.
Him. Have I brought him up on this podcast before?
Yes, but credit to you, quite a while ago.
Okay, I brought him up before, but I'm going to tell him about it again, that he had a little chicken shop on the side of the road, and then they diverted the highway, so no one ever came past him anymore. And so he put his chicken in a wheelbarrow and his recipe, and he went on the road for 3 years trying to sell it to people. For
three years,
just going like to restaurant, to restaurant, to restaurant, trying to get people to buy his recipe until finally he found somewhere.
Have you mentioned that he's KFC? Did we say
oh,
that?
Sorry, it's Colonel Sanders from KFC. It's him.
Otherwise, it's just a story about an old man that
oh,
wants
you
to
know,
sell chicken.
Colonel Sanders. But Colonel Sanders is the man from KFC. And then eventually he goes...
The man who owns KFC.
Literally KFC.
Right?
The man on the picture.
Again, he doesn't just work in KFC.
No, he's literally KFC. I think somewhere in the middle there he shot a man. But let's move on past that
bit. I've heard he's not a great guy.
Not a good guy.
But
flawless. And he stuck to his guns and he said like, he believed in what he was selling. Mm. Because I have been turned down and rejected for things in which I was like, well, I didn't want to... Immediately, I would have given up. Immediately.
Yes.
And so this guy was turned down from door to door constantly and believed wholeheartedly in his chicken.
Imagine like you open the door and like an old man being like, would you like to try some of my delicious chicken? And being like, no!
Yeah,
like,
imagine
yes,
those people.
I'd try.
Of course I'd love to try your chicken.
Yes.
And also for the last 20 years of his life, he was never seen in public without his string tie, beard and hat because he was the face of the brand.
You have said that before.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is commit to your brand, be Colonel Sanders. And the very last thing is that if you do have a business or something that you're proud of or you've started a company or you are selling something on Etsy or anything at all, send it to us and we'll do it for you. So we're going to do some shout outs.
Yeah, we're going to do some shout outs. Actually, I have a shout out.
Oh, yes,
it's
please.
It's not really a self-promotion thing. She just got in touch to say she loves the podcast. So hello, Serena.
Serena.
We had a lovely chat on Instagram DM. I think it's not called DM, that's Twitter. Instagram PM, the Prime Minister.
Oh,
Private messages. And so hello, Serena.
Hello, Serena. Thank you so much. And we love that you love it. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
And I've just done my first Instagram story. So there.
She did it of me. And it's not good.
No, it's not good, but it's out there now.
I think once you start, you'll really enjoy
it. The ball has
it.
Begun rolling and I can only improve.
The self-promo bandwagon. We're just going to be hearing about Tessa for the next year non-stop.
You'll hate that we did this because there'll be just too much.
I know.
Right. Get out there, sell yourselves,
don't be ashamed of it.
No,
it's a
don't
cool
put yourself
do.
Down. Just really practice not ever doing anything self-deprecating or say, oh, I can't do it. Be like, yes, you can.
Yes, across. And if you don't have like Twitter, you don't get it and just push through that first, like,
push
what
through
is
it.
This?
I pushed through it. I've just made an Instagram story.
Yeah, it's awful, but it'll get better.
Don't let your confidence be knocked when Steve says it's awful.
No,
just
see?
Crack on.
Look, it's happening in action. The assertiveness one has really worked.
Thank you so much.
I feel very powerful, too powerful.
Have a lovely week, which I'm sure we'll hear about it because you'll be promoting it.
Yeah, we believe in you. Okay, bye.